You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on 97.9 FM WGBW in Green Bay, 98.3 FM WISS in Oshkosh, and of course the Civic Media app all over the world. Very special guest here today from NBC 26, our neighborhood focus representative, Cameron Moreland.
Good
How
morning.
How you doing, Cameron?
I'm doing great. Thanks for not asking me to show up at like 6 a.m.
I was going
to
say thank you.
We gave you
Danielle,
the 8 o'clock.
Myself and you being 10 o'clock anchor type people.
Yeah.
We hardly ever saw this part of the day.
No.
That the truth?
Yeah. I mean, I was the morning meteorologist at 26 for like 4 years, and I got used to that schedule, but I am not a morning person.
Can you go to sleep? Could either one of you guys, no matter what, if I could go right home after the thing and think, I'm going to get a good night's sleep, I couldn't sleep for at least two and a half hours after a show. Could you guys?
No. I mean, because, you know, we did promos and then we usually,
And you still got adrenaline going.
It's, people were like, why,
it's tough to
why
shut
is
that off?
Hard? And I'm like, because you close your laptop at, you know, 4:30 and you start cleaning up. Mm-hmm. We're just gearing up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would get to work at around 1 a.m. I produced a 35-minute weather show that led into 2 hours of local programming, and then the Today Show cut-ins, and then later today. Yeah, but then I'd come home. I'd usually sleep for about 4 or 5 hours, and I'd be up to do normal family activities in the evening, and then I would get another hour and a half of sleep between about 10:30 and
midnight. That's so unhealthy.
I've never done that shift.
It's terrible. Yeah, unless you've done that schedule, you have no idea. It's a completely different lifestyle. And I always say that, you know, those folks should be treated differently than the evening folks, because it is just a completely different world having to deal with that every day.
And there are sleep things coming out now where you need that 7-8 hours for so many different mental health and just physical health and whatever. Even weight loss.
I'm doomed.
Jim's trying to sleep 14 hours a day now.
Yeah. There's drugs for that. All right. Hey, how long have you been? You got to be one of the longest weather people in Northeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm up there. I'm not the longest, but I'm pretty close. I got here in the fall of 1996.
Yeah.
So I was in Rhinelander. I got to Rhinelander in early 95. Was there for about a year and a half. And when we originally moved to Wisconsin, I think we were looking at, staying in Wisconsin, you know, getting better.
You're from Maryland, right?
Yes, originally Northern Idaho.
Oh, where?
Yeah, Moscow.
Oh, I didn't know
University
that.
University of Idaho.
We were just talking about
We were just talking about what a great area that is.
Nothing going on there.
The Palouse. The interior Pacific Northwest, kind of on the foothills of the Rockies. But,
gorgeous.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Wow.
When I was in eighth grade, my parents took a vacation to the East Coast, and we ended up moving to Annapolis, Maryland, and I was on vacation for about 20 years before I got back to Moscow and walked through my old house.
Yeah, oh, that's neat.
Yeah, so 95 into Wisconsin, got here in 96. We were going to probably stay in Wisconsin for a couple of years. Grew to love Northeast Wisconsin and have stayed put. Love it.
And we're glad you did, because you're more than a weather person. You really lean into the community on a lot of cool things. And that 3-degree guarantee, what you do, and I'm going to be seeing you later today.
I know.
You present the check to the new community shelter. I was just praying that you were within 3 degrees every day, because we get $100 a day.
Yeah.
Your batting average has got to be in the 90s.
Yeah, this year it's 95% since January 1st. I know.
That's you're going to get in trouble.
You're going to blow the budget.
I know. Well, the original idea back in the day, you know, 12, 13 years ago, whenever that was to give money when I missed. And I'm like, why are we accenting the negative?
Yeah.
Let's switch it around.
I remember that a lot more.
Yeah.
Because right now we'd give away $100, you know,
right.
You know, for a 3-month period, or you know, $500.
Right.
And people be like, oh, thanks, but you know, let's flip it around. So that's been successful.
It has been. And just what you're doing for all these nonprofits, and we need that, right? Every nonprofit, they're all good ones here in our community.
You know, the check that you're gonna get today. Because I get to see you twice. We already talked about this when I was walking in. How exciting. I mean, I get to see you twice in one
day. That's awesome.
But
I can't think of anything more exciting. You, Todd? I'm having a hard time calming down just thinking about that. starting to hyperventilate. Maybe I had too much coffee. I don't know. I can barely breathe.
Okay, so, Cameron. Yeah, the check's great, but, you know, getting the word out each and every day, putting the organization's name on 26, you know, four times a day with each newscast.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we need that, and we really, really appreciate it, as do all the other nonprofits that you support. You also travel quite a bit, and we were talking on this show, just the weather around the country has been kind of awful, really, if you look at that, the heat and the floods and the fires. And I think, you know, I don't know when you got transferred here what you thought, but some people look at us as, oh, the weather's not great, but they're nice people.
Right.
The weather here is great.
It is. And very quiet overall.
Well, we can shovel it.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
can't shovel it yeah. down in Florida.
We didn't even, right. get that much snow. That's, I mean, it's just, I think the chamber really needs, and they really need to start promoting our weather.
Right. Yeah.
It's so hot in Nashville and these other places. Yeah. And I just think this is a great place to live weather wise.
Most people would die to have the summer that we have. You know, comfortable temperatures, highs mainly in the 80s. We get a few 90s. We haven't hit 100 since 1995. We get some severe weather, but the last couple of years, the tornado count has been way down for Northeast Wisconsin, which is a good thing.
And did you say we haven't hit 100 since 1995?
Yeah.
Even all that really, really hot weather we had
officially
here
in Green
year?
Bay, 99. Wow. We hit 99 back in the early 2000s.
So why are we escaping all this severe weather when the whole climate change thing is affecting all these other regions?
Just favorable weather pattern. I mean, it only takes one event for you to say, oh my goodness, you know, but we have not had that one event here as far as like widespread severe weather in years. Yeah. I mean, we had our first earthquake ever in Northeast Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Back, you know, hit Sturgeon Bay,
right?
You know, a couple months ago. But besides that, blizzards are really, really it. You know?
And not even that. You talk about, you know, we've had, not since 95, we've been over 100 degrees. The reason John thinks we've been over 100 is he's put a little weight on. But in terms of the weather, the winters.
It's getting chilly. Hey, Cameron,
you get to see him twice today.
He's saving the good stuff for me later on tonight, you know,
I got him at 1 o'clock.
When the mic's off.
Feeling the chill.
But Cameron, even our winters haven't been.
No.
Maybe because I was a little kid, you remember the snow being, because you were short,
right.
Snow was so high. But
yeah.
It's still kind of like that for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Okay, there.
There he feels better. Is it like this all morning?
It is.
Every day?
Just, he wouldn't have had a good day unless he got back. one of those people. Tell me, though, the winters, though, last winter was like nothing.
Yeah, we've had some lackluster winters. There's no doubt about
winter.
It. No, I know. We had we had a week of winter in January. That was it.
Yeah.
We had the big snowstorm. It was a big snowstorm. It was like 15, 16, 17 inches. And then we had some sub-zero highs. And then we moderated. And then that was it. You know, it's, you know, when I moved to Wisconsin, it was, you got the snow at the end of November, early December. It was on the ground until mid-March.
Right.
And now, recently, we've had, if you look at Christmas Day specifically, just to pick one day off the calendar,
brown.
Last five have been brown Christmases, you know.
And well, we had that polar vortex a few years
ago. Oh, that was cold.
Yeah.
And that was like sustained sub-zero for how
several
long?
Days. Yeah, I mean.
I thought it was several weeks.
Yeah, I mean.
Felt like several. Years.
I don't like it. I that know. Was that cold. Was crazy.
Oh, my God.
That was cold.
Yeah, well, you can get, you know, multiple polar vortexes or Siberian expresses or just an Arctic blast per winter. But I think I'd have to look back at the exact records.
Cameron, got to ask you, the horrible tragedies in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what that final tally is going to be because so many people are still
it's
missing.
Devastating.
And now possibly hitting Tampa and that area. And you know what? It's like, you know, we've all probably been to Tampa. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's so we know what a beautiful area, that big bridge going across the thing, and what could happen to that beautiful area like that. Is there something weird going on with these things? I'm not, you know what I mean? It's just like, these are so crazily powerful, huh?
Yeah, they're maxing out very quickly. I mean, this is something we have not seen in the past where the hurricane, well, it goes from a tropical storm on Monday morning to a Cat 5 by Tuesday morning. You know, just the intense intensification of these hurricanes, and this one should be coming into Florida at some point tomorrow evening. And if you know, there's two spots in the country really that would take it on the chin more than anybody else. It's New Orleans and it's Tampa, because of Tampa Bay and the way the water will flow in there, and it gets trapped and it rises that storm surge. They're talking 10 to 15 feet. You know, that's just the water coming in. We've all seen the tsunami video out of Japan, where the water comes in, it rises, and it's basically that's what the storm surge is. It's like a tsunami. But then you get the waves on top of that because you've got winds of 150 miles per hour.
So it is getting worse. And But we see it, right? I mean, 8 miles an hour is not real fast, and they're picking up a lot of water. There's some way someday we're going to be able to blow these things up before they hit land. Do you guys?
I know. I was talking to somebody last week. I'm not sure who it was. They were talking about throwing a nuke into the eye wall and see what that would do.
Oh, great.
It would.
Well, I don't know about a nuke.
You know, they have radiation on top of everything else. You know? Yeah.
Probably that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of power coming out from a hurricane.
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay.
Yeah. The amount of energy, you know, put into the atmosphere by every hour from one of these things just, you know, outweighs nuclear weapons and any type of, you know, weather modification that somebody might dream of.
Well, let's harness it.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. It's amazing with all the advanced notice. I mean, the big hurricanes and storms, mm-hmm. people died, you know, back in the early 1900s because there was no notice, right?
Right.
And I feel really bad for those people, especially North Carolina. They had, you know, I mean, 200-300 people are going to be gone, and they had plenty of notice. So I don't know if people are like, I'm not leaving because it's my land type thing.
Well, always say it's not going to happen here. Yeah. You know, you see it on TV, and it's like, it was funny. It was just, I was watching an interview the other day, and the woman was coming out of the grocery store, and the reporter ran up to her, and she's like, you know, you see it on TV, but here I am. I'm standing here. You know, I never envisioned that I would be standing here, but here I am. But that was just a combination of a ton of tropical moisture hitting the mountains, orographic lift. The rain's got to go somewhere. It goes into the valleys. The towns are in the valleys. So the wall of water comes rushing down into those towns.
They couldn't have expected that at all, right? I mean,
not 20, 30, 40 inches of rain or whatever ended up falling.
Wow. Yeah. I saw a really heartfelt, touching interview. They were interviewing a woman, and she was just begging for everybody to stop politicizing their tragedy.
Yeah, right.
She said, don't do that. This is real. Look at me. Look at my what's left of me.
Well, did you see that horrible thing, the grandparents and their little kid on top of that roof, and they're begging, they're texting everywhere trying to get saved, and then the house collapsed and they all died?
Yeah. Oh,
and that was like live. They were streaming live.
They were doing everything they were supposed to do. I mean, it's like when you get into a car, you put the seatbelt on, so hopefully you're not seriously injured or killed, but you could still get into a car accident and get injured. They were doing what they're supposed to do, get to higher ground, but it just overpowered them.
One other thing, though, Iowa was, in southern Wisconsin, was hit so hard with tornadoes earlier this year. Can we talk about that when we come back?
Sure.
And I want to talk about, we had some kid on yesterday who's an aspiring sportscaster. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about people who are aspiring weather people, your advice for them.
Okay.
And Deanne teaches, so we can check all
the
boxes.
Are you thinking about it?
No.
I'm going to go for mayor, and you'll go for meteorologist.
You'd be a lot better mayor, I'll tell you that.
We got another quick break. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app worldwide. We are with two very special guests, Danielle Bina joining us and Cameron Moreland.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Well, so we're talking weather.
Yep. We are talking weather.
We're talking weather with Cameron.
And how fortunate we are in this part of the world to, I don't know, dodge isn't the right word, but to not be the victim of a lot of things that are going on. And you're saying it's these just weather patterns.
Yeah, I mean, we just live in a favorable spot. I mean,
but for now, is it temporary? Are we going to get whacked back like we were?
We certainly could. I mean, things can change. I mean, but we're not going to get a hurricane. You know, we're not going to get, I mean, we could have an EF5 tornado, but the chances of that are pretty slim. The last one was in Fond du Lac County, Oakfield. That was going back to 96. So, I mean, even tornadoes, which are, you know, they go hand in hand with living in the Midwest, we don't often see strong tornadoes here. Usually we see weak tornadoes.
Danielle,
Barneveld.
Barneveld.
Yeah.
We were working together, and that was
84.
So Barneveld, we were weekend anchors, I think, at the time.
And, struck in the middle of the night.
Yeah. It struck in the middle of the night. Sirens never went off, and four or five people died.
That's why I'm sitting here right now. It was the Barneveld storm complex. I was in Wellman, Iowa, southwest of Iowa City. Spending the weeks at my grandparents' house. And that complex came through, and we had a tornado warning. And I remember jumping off the couch and running around the house yelling tornado warning. And my grandmother saying, everybody relax. We get tornadoes here in Iowa. And we calmly, let's head down to the basement. I remember going down to the basement, but, you know, very scared, but at the same time being very excited.
Sure.
This is where I always think about you, Mayor, is when I talk to kids at school, I say, you ever have, why do you ride a roller coaster? To be scared, but also excited. So I always talk about the Zip and Pippin. And that's the feeling that I had going down in
that's
the basement
cool.
that evening, you know, being very scared, but also like, wow, this is crazy. There's a tornado coming right towards the house. Ended up going a mile north. We took a look at all the damage the next day, but that complex then lifted north and produced the Barneville tornado, an F5, struck without warning. No tornado warnings going off.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Just came in, out of the country, right into town.
So really, that was it?
That was triggered it?
I mean, it wasn't Willard Scott, wasn't your dad or...
No, it was that event. It was wow. coming face to face with Mother Nature. You
that
know,
was
at her
big
worst.
News. That was national news. Remember that? That was huge.
Do you ever want to be a storm chaser?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to go storm chasing, and that's what I do when I'm on vacation. when I'm here, I'm in the weather center.
Way to disconnect.
You'll find me in a lounge chair with a.
Hey, I gotta say, but I made my hobby my job. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I haven't worked a day in my life, honestly.
That's awesome advice.
If that tornado hit a mile from where you guys were.
Yeah.
I mean, a tornado can cross a mile in what, how many seconds?
Yeah, I mean, they can be moving 70 miles an hour sometimes, for sure. Yeah. Well, and that was rated at F4. And then the thunderstorms kind of went through a little bit of a weakening phase, and then they strengthened again as they kind of moved into southern Wisconsin hours later.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were a kid.
Yeah.
You knew that that's something that, I guess, excited you or something you really want to learn more about, I should say. Tell me about your schooling, if people... I think that is an interesting industry that you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I got to college, which was in northern Vermont, I went to a little school called Linden State College.
Whoa, 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 who gym this morning, Vermont. Our whole first hour was about Vermont.
One of my favorite
states.
And
did you say the name of the school is Linden?
Linden. Linden State. Linden. Oh, Linden.
No, Linden. Where is that? Linden Maple Syrup, yes. Vermont.
Yeah.
Really? Because Jim was saying, we're asking about Vermont. He goes, it's really great. There's a lot of trees. There's too many trees.
There's a lot of linens.
There's too many trees. But they got great linens.
That's some guy texting the linens. I didn't say that. Vermont, that is... I don't know what the word is. That's out there.
It's Vermont.
It is.
Vermont.
Northern New England. Yeah.
Very Vermont-y.
It's very Vermont.
Are the trees better there than up in a place like where your cabin is, Danielle, up on Chain of Lakes?
Well, Vermont has mountains. And
Yes,
and,
that's the difference.
And that's the difference, yeah. But it's, yeah, it's equally beautiful.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
fall.
Here in northern.
We have
northern
Copper Harbor not too far from
yeah,
us.
Yeah, where you can
is,
see a little bit of a lift from the bluffs. Yeah. But, you know, Wisconsin, I always say you have to find a lake and then you're overwhelmed by how beautiful it is, a peak color, because you got the water in front of you.
Right.
In Vermont, you just kind of look up and you're getting the same kind of color. A lot of maples, obviously, Vermont maple syrup.
And they're so beautiful.
And you just get the color variation, which is just, it blows your mind. And you get the fog in the valley and it's just, it's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. I just, yeah.
Got to ask you something about a food. What were we talking about the other day that you say is overrated? Because he's from the seafood capital of the world almost.
Oh, lobster rolls. I'm not saying they're overrated. I just, they're
I'm not a lobster person at all.
Okay.
I'm Maryland blue crab.
Ooh,
all right. You know,
crab cakes.
Growing up on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay, crab cakes, creamy crab soup, you know.
I eat crab cakes every day.
I was talking to a sports writer one time. He used to cover the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
He said the favorite part going there was they would serve in the press room crab cakes.
Oh,
they didn't know what a crab cake was. That everything was crab this and crab that. It's just
so
phenomenal.
Good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, sitting out in, you know, Annapolis or Baltimore in the middle of summer. It's 95 degrees and you're picking crabs. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, where they go get a bushel of crabs. They steam them up. You know, they turn orange. They pour Old Bay on top of them. You get your little mallet out and you start cracking and you dip, you know, you find some crab meat, you dip it in the Old Bay, take a bite.
That sounds awesome.
Too much work.
It is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
You get like a minuscule amount of crab meat for like 20 minutes of work.
Yes. I mean, it is. Yeah. But it's so gratifying.
Lobster's a little easier to work with. But that is unique living out there. And I'm surprised, well, not surprised, but I mean, are you going to go back there? That is a slice of life.
Well, originally, when we moved to Wisconsin, I mean, I took the Rhinelander job at WJFW, the NBC affiliate up there.
How much did you make?
I could have made more at McDonald's.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
my first was $9,600. Her first one was $11,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was
on probation.
At
$11,000.
I came in, I was at $15,000.
Oh,
and, you yeah. were
I was a, but I was a meteorologist. Yeah. That's why they paid me more. Uh-huh. And then I kind of got courted by the station, Channel 7 in Wausau. And so they decided to give me a raise to $18,000.
Yeah.
And he thought I was going to stay there for life.
Did you?
Because he had given me that much money.
When I made $18,000 on a contract, I felt I made it.
I remember making $25,000 as a weekend anchor the first year of the contract and thinking, well, I can go buy new tires
because you know
my
what?
Car.
It was $100.
Slap a credit card.
Yeah, exactly.
So, did you work with Mike Mihalik?
I did.
Was he news director back then?
He became news director. He's the one that gave me that contract.
Our cottage is in Land O'Lakes,
and he is a fantastic guy.
Yeah,
love
where
that
did
guy.
He end up?
Well, he was news director for the while. He did all the fishing maps and
that kind of
stuff.
He did everything.
Yeah.
Cameron Moreland, great having you here.
Thank you.
And what you're doing for the community with the different charities, like community shelters, fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, Cameron. And I'll see you, Mayor, later on today.
Sounds good. All right.
I'll see you Friday night.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
We'll be back with more right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Special thanks to Cameron Moreland for being here. That was fantastic talking with him. Also, Nate Rose, local artist who's incredible. Danielle Bina filling in with us today and having a great time, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're with Jason Lowe, NEW Top Dog Contest. It's basically through Kiwanis. And these two each have dogs that they're very proud of. And each one thinks their dog is better than the other person's dogs. So I'm going to pretty much let them handle this, Jason.
All right.
Jason, people do love their dogs. Tell me about this. The event, I think it's great. And to nominate your dog, everybody wants to do that. It's like nominating your kid.
So you nominate your dog. You go to newtopdog.com, and we partner with different shelters and rescues from Green Bay to Manitowoc. And then each shelter is paired with a brewery. And so these... You know, it's a dollar a vote. It goes for a month long. It's done on October 26th. And then the winning dog for that shelter, you know, that you enter it through, that brewery makes a beer for them. And then we have labels made up where it's a picture of your dog that's on the label. And the brewery, you know, it's a really great fundraiser. You know, we split
what a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. We split the money with all the shelters, and then we pay the expenses. And as I was saying, we use the money to use it to buy iPads for kids that have autism in the Fox Valley. You know, we buy socks and underwear for public schools. You know, we do teacher grants.
Phenomenal.
That kids is scholarships. Amazing. So
fantastic.
So it's been very successful. We've raised a little over $600,000 in the past 5 years.
How many dogs do you get? So usually, or do you cut off at some point?
No, you can enter at any time. And we usually have, you know, between 200 to 300 entries every year.
Wow.
So we have, you know, it's all online.
Okay, so what breed is
how much would a dog
what?
Have to vote to win?
It varies. Yeah. You can go to the website and click on the different shelters and kind of see. I mean, it's been going on for a week already. So you can kind of see how many votes each dog has right now. Mine is in it. I'm entered through the Nina Animal Shelter. So,
and you're with the Kiwanis, right? Is that who's running this? That's
so the Oshkosh Mid Morning Kiwanis.
Okay, the Oshkosh Mid Morning Kiwanis. Then that's nice. You have so many groups. I mean, it's a great organization, but I mean, they're all over Northeast Wisconsin.
Yes.
And this is unique. Is this your idea? 6 years you've been doing this. You said. I think this is awesome.
Yeah. So we used to have a different fundraiser, and then when COVID hit, we couldn't do it.
Right.
And, you know, for us, you know, we're all about helping kids. And if we don't have money in, it's kind of hard for us to help them out. So right. A person in our club came up with this idea. He's really good with a computer. So he kind of, you know, put it all together. So very fortunate to have somebody that has that type of skills within our club.
So we nominate our dog or a dog.
Yep.
No, I nominate my dog.
Right, now I'm going to nominate mine.
You both can.
Yeah, I'm gonna
nominate. And I love that picture of your dog. Yeah. That's a cool picture.
And then what's the affiliation with the brewery? Tell me how that works.
So the brewery is just basically a partner. Just about all the breweries have an outdoor area to where you can bring your dog. So the shelters, you know, they have events at all the breweries.
Sure.
You know, it's just kind of helped to, you know, promote local business.
That's cool.
Way.
And what kind of what dog has won in the past? And what kind of pose?
Yeah, is there a favorite type that generally?
Jim needs to know this. Yeah.
Not really. It's varied over the years. So
I'm going to suggest a picture of Milton running away from John.
I like that.
We got plenty of those in the Christmas party.
His dog hates me.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, my friend's dog won last year.
Great instinct.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that somebody might talk about Milton.
Who won last year?
Amanda's friend's dog.
Oh, what kind of dog was it?
Her name is Bonnet, and she's a mixed breed from Sandy Paws.
Oh.
Yeah. That's down in Fond du Lac.
Oh. From a shelter?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. What a great idea. I mean, everybody loves dogs. I mean, let's be honest. Everybody loves dogs.
And a lot of people like beer.
And a lot of people like beer.
Yes, I raised my hand.
I think it might be the everybody likes beer. Someone.
And
everybody wants to help local kids.
Yeah.
So talk about a trifecta of great things here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I've kind of helped out with this over the years. This is the first year for me actually running the actual whole thing. And it's really neat to, you know, meet with all the brewers and, you know, I've actually met with just about all the different shelters and the rescues. It's just neat to see, you know, their passion, you know, about, you know, helping animals out. You know, I was on Channel 5 Live last week and Mitt Lieb is, they just do German Shepherds. They're up here in Green Bay and they've been around for a long time. They had two German Shepherds on there and they had one, her name was Yodi, and she was a rescue from down in Texas. Just found her on the street, just wandering. And I mean, if I didn't have two dogs at home already, I would have taken her home.
Well, that's a problem.
I would have adopted her.
You know, that is the dilemma of going into any kind of animal shelter or you want to bring them all home.
Yeah.
You know, you just like, oh no, you can't be in there. But so what, the beer part? Okay, let's get to the good part here.
Okay.
So they name it after the dog's name? Is that, how does that work?
Yep, so the brewery, they usually come up with the, you know, type of beer, and then they name it, and they have the dog's name, you know, within it. So
what's your dog's name, Danielle?
Lucy.
Lucy.
Okay.
Lucy's Lager.
There you go.
Hey,
right?
Nice.
Milton's Malt.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was just doing your cue. LR coded, looking this up, how easy it is to register your dog. But go ahead, talk about the brewery, and then I want to talk about this whole, how we can get new dogs.
I'm glad you brought up the QR code, because at all the breweries, we have coasters there that have New Top Dog on it, and that has a QR code. So if you're hanging out at one of the breweries, you're able to scan it, you know, just kind of look at it. So it's, you know, pretty easy to, you know, join and do it. So like I said, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's... Fortunately for, I mean, it's raised a lot of money and we've been able to do a lot of good with it.
Let me talk about some of the good things that you do. I mean, but Kiwanis is just a great organization. You guys have been around for, you know, some time.
Yeah.
This, you know, 2024, your focus is still kids.
Sure. Always.
Yes. It always has been.
Yep. Right.
But what, tell me the laptops, things you do.
Yeah. So we usually like to buy, the iPads for kids that have autism and, you know, this year, our club, we've given out, I believe it's like 170 iPads so far.
Beautiful.
And one of our big projects is called Project Undercover, where we supply socks and underwear to all the public schools. And so if a kid needs a new pair of drawers or socks, they tell the teacher, they send it to the principal's office, they get a hygiene kit and then new socks. They go to the bathroom, clean themselves up, you know, and put that on. I mean, it's unfortunate that there's kids that live that way, but there's a lot of kids out there that need a lot of help. And I mean, that's, you know,
that's awesome. You guys are doing that. 'Cause that's something that maybe, you know, everybody
You don't even think about it.
Yeah, people think about the backpacks and, you know, shirts and the coats. Yeah. And they're all important items, but, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
Well,
that's
who did we have on? Was it yesterday or the day before? Talking about a statistic of one in a fairly small number of kids in Northeast Wisconsin don't know where they're going to get their food from the next day.
Food insecurity is a huge issue.
That's another thing we help out with is the food pantry in Oshkosh. They do snacks for all the public schools. It used to be subsidized by the government. It doesn't anymore. And it costs them about $75,000 just in Oshkosh to supply snacks. Wow. And so we help subsidize, you know, we give money to help, you know, help that out.
And teachers often, you know, right out of their own pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
They're bringing hats and mittens and, things for some.
Well, I remember one time when I was on the air at the other station over at XX, and it was one of those, like we were talking about, the vortex type days or whatever. And I had to go do a quick remote for the morning show. And there's these kids walking to school without hats on or gloves and things like that. And I just put out a call to people. Hey, I had teachers from I remember Howe Elementary and some of those other ones said, could we get some of those? Because the teachers were buying the stuff for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
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 That's great. You guys are stepping up and doing that. The food insecurities, I don't know what the answer is, but we have so much food in America and here, and it's the distribution or it's getting it to them. You know, that's a challenge. We've had Paul's Pantry on here and we've had the Oshkosh Food Pantry. He's been great about you guys really serve a ton of people and you don't even restrict it to Oshkosh, quite honestly. You can come in from anywhere and get that, which I think is really cool. And I don't think people should, the undercover thing, I can see where that'd be a little embarrassing, but food's expensive and people got to eat. Right. And I work at a shelter and we open up our dinner every night, and you know, we had 150 people that come in there, you know, and these are people that they're not homeless, but it's tough to get ahead in or just not even get ahead to make it. So thank you for Kiwanis, what you guys are doing.
Appreciate it. One neat fact is we help out Oshkosh North. They have a leadership program through the high school and it's called Communities, and so we help supply them with whatever they need. And they have their kids come and they present whatever project they're working on. We meet every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. And so during the school year, we'll have between 1 to 4 kids and they talk about their project. The neat fact about this is that Tyrese Halliburton was in that program and would come. And,
no kidding.
And
that's awesome.
They have this, it's called the spaghetti dinner, which we cook all the food. It's a fundraiser for them at Oshkosh North. And he's come back a couple times for that. And one of our club members, he's like, hey, Tyrese, you want to come to the meeting tomorrow? And sure enough, he showed up.
Oh, that's
no
cool.
kidding.
That's great.
I mean, NBA All-Star.
That was a year or two ago, but good. I mean, he's got a good head on his shoulders. So
think of the impact you had. I mean, they remember that.
Where does your passion come from?
I don't know. It's I'm originally from Missouri. I don't know if that means anything, but I just know that there's a lot of kids out there. I've always wanted to try. I had a good upbringing, but always felt like there's kids out there that need help. Always wanted to be a good dad, and then as you get more into this, you see there's a lot of kids that are out there that need help. And I mean, that's why I'm part of Kiwanis is, we need to help learn these kids up as much as we can, the ones that need help. And so that's why I'm part of Kiwanis.
Well, I'll tell you,
they're blessed to have you.
Jim and I talk a lot we love Oshkosh. We're in Oshkosh. That's our station, the whole thing. Yeah. So impressed with the enthusiasm of Oshkosh to make that a better community. So impressed. No lie.
You have good energy down there.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's...
On all levels. I mean, downtown development, the arts, and the not-for-profits.
Yeah. The Oshkosh Area Community Foundation, they do so much. And, how they give out to the community and the programs that they're part of. So, they're one of our sponsors for this. So.
Right. I was looking at your sponsors. Yeah. You got a good group there. Yep. And I think we should just give a shout-out to Kiwanis anywhere, right? Manitowoc, Marinette. I mean.
Yeah. Nina Appleton.
Right.
Green Bay.
Right.
All of them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And well, this dog, there's a, is that a basset?
It is a basset hound.
Yeah, so there's a basset hound on the picture. They have those ears.
I love Basset Hound.
I know.
I have one.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I love
that. It's his dog.
Is the bark?
Is that your dog?
It's not.
Is that,
also, I'll show you a picture of mine.
Is their bark as dramatic as I've heard? Is that hound bark?
It can be. So
oh, my
this
gosh.
Is,
oh, look at those ears.
Are they ever happy or do they just have sad-looking eyes?
They're happy. I'll tell you what, though. They're the most stubborn dog because
oh, really?
When we first got her name Sage and it took a while to get her house trained. I mean, like over a year.
Oh, wow.
And
I won't go
and
outside.
So, like after like 6 months, I started reading into it and like Basset Hounds are the most stubborn dog breed that there is. They're the hardest to train.
Oh, great.
And this is a funny story, but she got up on the couch one time. I was like, you know, we don't let that happen. So I, you know, pushed her down. She kind of looked at me and barked at me. And so I was like, no. And when I did that, this was when she was a puppy and she snipped at me. So I grabbed her snout and I was like, no, no. And she barked at me again and snipped at me again. So I put her outside. She comes, you know, my wife's like, you're going to let her back in? So when I let her back in, she comes in. And then instead of coming into the living room, she just kind of sat right there with her back to me, to the living room. And she would turn her head around and look. When I'd look at her, she'd turn right back around.
Oh, my God.
And that went on and on until I, you know, came up to her and pat her. So
are you the boss now?
No.
Nah.
That dog looked pretty comfortable on that couch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is my spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jason Lowell, NEW Top Dog Contest, Kiwanis Oshkosh. Thank you for what you guys are doing. What a great event this is.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Come back anytime. Just please don't wear a Kansas City Chiefs pullover.
I don't know.
Time. Yeah.
I'll show you a picture of my dog. I went and Googled dog. I have 649 pictures of him. So.
Oh, there you go. Quick break back at this.
Can't get enough of Mino and the Mayor? You can watch the show live right now on Facebook. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Again. That was awesome. Yes. What? Okay, thanks a lot, Nate. Actually, Jason. NewTopDog.com. NEWTopDog.com.
Yeah. What a
and
cool event.
Dog. It is. He's just giving us some numbers. I think we need to support this, but they're doing pretty well, which is awesome.
Well, 50,000, 90,000, something like that, and it's all going towards kids-type programs.
Right.
I don't think you could ask for anything better.
Yeah.
And
Danielle's
dogs.
Excited. She's putting her dog in this.
Yeah, I got a really some good pictures.
Was it Lucy?
Lucy.
Lucy.
Lucy the lioness.
All right. Yeah, like I said, she's got a big old mane.
Yeah. That's why, and she has that kind of temperament. You know, he talked about stubborn. Well, she's smart and she wily.
Well, I bought my daughter a Bichon Frise one time.
Oh, a frou-frou dog.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
And they, you talk about hard to train, it would do its thing in the living room or wherever. So I got VHS tapes. That's how far back this goes.
No tolerance.
It said early in the morning, as early as possible, take it for a walk. And it was January, so I got it for Christmas. And it was super cold. And I'm out there walking. And this time I'm working, you know, 10 o'clock shift or whatever, and getting up at 6 to walk. And that I'd take that dog for a walk. And that son of a gun would hold it until he got right back in the house and then do his thing. Hold it.
Out of spite. Well, he had the name, you know. With a name like that, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of those. I think, I don't know. That's too bad. I think what was happening, well, I don't know, I had to train dogs, but I think. You don't let them back into the house.
Make them stay out there until.
I mean, John, you're good at that, right? Your dogs lived outside back in the day.
Absolutely.
What are you doing bringing them in the house, John?
We had dogs.
Dogs like, what the hell's going on here?
We had 2 to 3 dogs for the entirety of my family's lifetime. I mean, going all the way back to whenever.
Wow.
And there has never been one in a house, in our house.
Is that our dog? Whose dog is that?
We're never allowed to have our dogs in the house. But we had beagles.
Oh.
And beagles aren't good house dogs.
Beagles are very stubborn.
Very stubborn. Ridiculously stubborn. We'd go rabbit hunting, and my dog, Casey, he would not come out. We'd have to leave the blanket that we would have in the trunk. We'd transport them in the trunk, and we'd take the blanket. We'd have to leave it out with some food overnight, go back the next day to pick him up because he would not come in after chasing rabbits.
Well, you probably didn't want him to come in if he caught a rabbit.
Well, he wasn't that fast.
Lucy caught a rabbit and shook it, and that was the end of it. And then she didn't know what to do.
Well, Lucy's a big dog.
Yeah, I know. And it was like, Mom, do you want it? No!
Does she hunt? Retrieve or anything?
No, in fact, she's gun shy. So thunder, lightning, she knows before
nervous.
It hits, and like she'll knock over furniture to get under something.
Really?
Yeah. Goldens, a lot of Goldens, they're just, you know, and she's a field red, so.
Because, I mean, some of those, I've got a buddy that's a dog trainer.
She would not.
And they are amazing with the way they can be trained.
Yeah, but she's just so noise sensitive, and as a puppy was. So,
yeah.
Yeah, she would have been abandoned in the field.
Milton retrieve it all? When you take him hunting?
he chases rabbits.
Really? Oh, does he?
But in our yard, those rabbits are super smart, and they know where the electric fences, and they run across that line, and they know he's not going to stop. He would never cross that line. And people say they'll run through that for a rabbit. They won't. He won't.
Lucy ran through for a skunk. Lucy has been skunked twice.
Ooh.
And I spent the first time like an hour and 45 minutes in the shower with Dawn, hydrogen peroxide, and baby shampoo.
I thought it was tomato soup.
That's what I heard.
Well,
too. Tomato
you
juice.
Know what?
Tomato juice.
Hydrogen, no. That didn't touch it with the last dog we had, Abby, who got skunked. And I thought so, too. And it just stunk.
Can I tell you something a lot worse than getting skunked?
Oh.
Porcupines.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah.
When they go after porcupines.
A dog across the street up north at our cottage got it in the hip.
I believe it.
And, you know, they have those.
All those quills.
Those barbs.
Yeah. And you got to cut them. And that takes. Because we had one that got it in his tongue, got it in his mouth.
It was emergency surgery.
And I guarantee there's a lot of porcupines up around your neck of the woods when you go up there.
And I live in fear because they're slow, too.
Oh, God. Dog could chase them down like nothing.
I mean, you know, a dog is always going to get skunked because skunks lumber.
Yeah.
And a dog's always going to get quilled.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
Who did we have on, Jim, recently? Was it John Miller that worked in Montana?
The
no.
Snakes?
Or was it Rolf? Your guy,
yes,
Rolf.
I think it
Rolf.
Was
so
Carl
the
Winter.
Guy. Yeah,
Carl Winter.
News reporter for NBC 26.
Yeah.
Good-looking blonde guy, tall, whatever. And Jim goes, Rolf! And he's like, what? You look exactly like Rolf. He's like, Rolf, who? Rolf! From The Sound of Music!
Just, okay,
young,
finish that story.
The
and
young
then,
Nazi.
And he said.
The Hitler Youth?
Yes,
and you
yes,
called
yes,
this guy?
Yes,
oh.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
but,
Todd went and dug up a photo and that
spitting
he,
it.
And he showed he did. He showed the guy. Guy's like, wow. So
and he turned in the family.
I know. So, I couldn't understand that.
With someone just, like as cute as Liesel, how could he do that to the whole Von Trapp
Jim,
family?
You have to answer now for
no,
the entire
yeah.
time.
Yeah. I know, right? For the whole
Jim Schmidt will ever defend a Nazi. Go ahead.
That's, yeah. That's what I got to be careful of. So.
You are 16 going on 17.
So whatever happened to him in the movie?
Rolf? Well, he...
Did he just disappear then when they took off?
Yeah, they never ended his story or finished
his
story. But we probably know what happened to him.
Yeah,
because...
Probably didn't turn out all that well.
When Germany ran out of troops, they were sending 14, 15-year-olds into combat.
Absolutely.
So,
Hitlerjugend.
Yeah, the youth was...
Yep.
Grew up fast.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're running out of time. Danielle, this has been phenomenal having you here.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
Man, this has been fun. This morning just flew by.
Yeah, we
love to have
guests.
You back again.
Well, thank you. Here we go.
I think we
that's him singing, you know.
I think next time we should have a dog day. You guys can both bring your dogs to work. What do you think, Todd?
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bring mine in. Amanda can bring hers in.
Yes.
Sure. Yes. We'll have a dog day.
Lucy is very social.
That's
warning
kind of a,
you.
That is a day, though, in the country, right?
Sure.
Bring your dog to work day.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
So we just got to figure out when that is, because I did
we'll
that
have at, our own.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We can do that.
We'll just be running wild in
there. All right.
Danielle Bina, thank you so much. Nate Rose, great artist. Cameron Moreland, Jason Lowe, thank you for what you're doing for our kids in the community.
Yeah.
We'll be back in tomorrow morning. Mind on the Mayor. See ya.
16 going on 17.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.